This evening's message is from the book of Acts, chapter 16, and the passage begins reading in verse 16. And I'll read from there in just a little minute. This morning we're in service up in Traveler's Rest, where we generally attend on Sunday morning. And there's a man that has been attending there for some weeks, maybe a few months or so. His daughter has been there with him and his grandkids, and I think she's been there sporadically over the past couple of years that we've attended their Sunday mornings. And from one of the other members of the church there, I've spoken to my wife, for she's known this man, other member of the church, has known this man for many years. He's about 70 years old, maybe a little under, maybe a little on the other side of 70. And he's a lawyer somewhere in Greenville County, and it's what he's done for his living. But from the story that goes, he has comes home from work in the evening and begins drinking around 5 o'clock or so in the evening, and he drinks all evening. He's an unsaved man that many preachers in northern part of the county know. And many people have talked to him about his soul for 35 years or so now. And after the service this morning, he had finally had enough of resisting God. And he humbled himself under the hand of God and called upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save his soul. And this man was, was not content to continue testing the grace and the mercy of God. He'd lived a lot of years outside of Christ, but today he's surrendered to the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus and submitted to his righteousness and not his own. And he's come to be a believer in the Lord Jesus. But I should have mentioned him during our time of prayer requests. I suppose that we would want to pray for him, that he would go on for the Lord, and his latter years would be of much value and very profitable for the kingdom of heaven. But it's a joyous occasion for the people of God. As is often stated, when someone comes to the Savior, there is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. And that text of scripture is taken to refer to the angels rejoicing in heaven over a sinner that's saved. A preacher from a bygone era commented on that text, and he said it's joy in the presence of the angels. And his interpretation of the passage is that it's God himself who is rejoicing and in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repented. And so there was rejoicing in heaven today in the presence of the angels and the living God rejoicing over this lost sheep that has been found. In Acts chapter 8, a short time ago, we read of Philip's encounter. Philip, an evangelist who, in the early days of the church, set about preaching the gospel. We read of his encounter with an Ethiopian, a man of great authority. This man, we learn a little of him in the passage there in Acts chapter 8, that he had charge of all the treasure of Queen Candace. Queen Candace being queen of the Ethiopians at this time. And this Ethiopian man was of great authority in that kingdom. He had been to Jerusalem to worship, and he was sitting in his chariot returning to Ethiopia, and he was reading from the prophet Isaiah. We know that he was reading from Isaiah chapter 53. Well, this Ethiopian man of great authority, we find him to be a man of position. Is a man of religion, for he'd been to Jerusalem to worship there. And he was a man of learning, for he was a man reading particularly the scriptures that he had available to him. But these things were not sufficient. He was a man who was searching. And Philip the evangelist came alongside his chariot and asked him if he understood what it was that he read. And the man said, well, how can I understand unless there is someone to teach me or to explain this to me? And after Philip's brief time, maybe it wasn't so brief, his time of explaining to him who the person of Jesus Christ is and of his sufferings as they are described in Isaiah 53 and how his sufferings on behalf of sinners, the only hope that any sinner has, this man came to believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners. And he was one of those sinners in need of that salvation. And he found satisfaction in Jesus Christ. His position was not sufficient for him. He was not satisfied with his position. His religion was not sufficient to him. He was continuing to search for something that he had not found. His learning was not enough, for here he was reading. He was seeking something that he had not learned about yet. He was not satisfied with his level of learning yet. But he found satisfaction in the person of Jesus Christ. And he went on his way rejoicing, the scripture says. And so we read the story of Philip in the book of Acts, chapter 8. And his encounter with this Ethiopian man and of his conversion to the person of Jesus Christ, no longer a sinner of importance among men, with learning from men and with wealth from men and with religion of men, all of these things insufficient to satisfy the cravings of a sinner. He found satisfaction in the person of Jesus Christ. We turn now to the book of Acts, chapter 16. Begin reading in verse 16 for another story about two preachers and another man who had a very different walk of life than the Ethiopian. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this she did many days. And Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, I command thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her. And he came out of her the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them to the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, saying to the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And he called for a light, and sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Well, let's have a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we pray for man in traveler's rest that made profession, faith in Christ this morning, and ask that he would go on and continue to hold fast to this profession, and that the name of Jesus Christ might be exalted before his family. A man who's lived many years in rebellion and rejection of the truth of your word, and now has humbled himself and submitted to thee. Lord, we ask that you'd raise him up and give him many years of great testimony before thy name, that thou wouldst be glorified in his life. Our Lord in heaven, we do ask and pray that you would meet our needs this evening, a message according to your word. Fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul had cast out a devil out of a woman who had a spirit of divination, as is described here in the book of Acts. Woman had some kind of an ability to let people know something that was going on in their lives. This man of witchcraft is a great grief to the people of God and to the community. But these men had found some way to glean money from this superstitious activity. Certainly superstitious, but also one that devils use to bind people into a false belief and a false hope. Paul was much grieved in his spirit and commanded the devil out of this woman. And the men who had used her to make themselves rich found their hope of gain gone. Now they would have to actually work for a living. This was grievous to them. And for no crime whatsoever, they dragged these two men before the crowd and before in the marketplace and before the magistrates, stirred up the crowd against them with false accusation. They were commanded to be beaten, and with many stripes laid upon them, they were dragged off to the prison. And they charged the jailer, said, keep them safely. Apparently, the jailer is brought into this after the uproar has been taken place. But who, having received this jailer, having received them, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. He had on his hands some really bad people. These men, Paul and Silas, these were a great threat to society. He was charged with them, you keep these men safely, and he was going to do his job well. Into the inner prison, in the stocks, these two are not going anywhere. The jailer had a job to do. A jailer's job is to keep criminals. He is to be sure that lawbreakers are dealt with according to the law. The penalty of the law is to be brought to bear upon those under his charge. Now, these men were not common criminals. They were not lawless men. The jailer, no doubt, had seen many such men in his career, whatever length it was. Undoubtedly, murderers, thieves, and swindlers, and crooks of every sort, young and old alike, had passed their at least a measure of time under his watch care. But gospel preachers? No, he had never had such come through the walls or the doors of his jail. No such persons had ever passed that way before. This was the first time gospel ministers had been to the city of Philippi. But oh, they had to be in the inner prison, and they had to be in the stocks. This is what we know of the jailer. Man who was given a charge to do, he was going to do his duty earnestly. He took it seriously. But at midnight, these two dangerous men who had to be cared for in such fashion, they prayed and they sang praises to God. And the prisoners heard them. Now, their backs were bloodied. They were beaten. They had been bruised. Their feet in these stocks, most uncomfortable, to be sure. And here, in the middle of the night, they prayed. And they sang praises unto God. The prisoners heard them. They had this testimony there. It is not the last jail ministry. Men who have gone to jail because they were preachers of the gospel. Not the last time that men were sent there because they had delivered someone who was bound by Satan from their bondage and had to be jailed for such a terrible thing that they would do. But we read of this particular incident. Paul and Silas raised a great testimony inside that jail. No moaning, complaining of their plight. Whatever pain or difficulty they were enduring, and it was certainly very real, they sang praises unto God. And those in that prison who truly were criminals, those that were there who deserved to be there, for they were lawbreakers, they heard the testimony of these two men. Well, suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Time to go. Everybody out the door, doors open, jailbreak. Well, the keeper of the prison, wakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword because he assumed that that's exactly what happened. The earthquake came, the doors broke open, everyone's free to go. What do prisoners do when they have the opportunity to leave? Or if they make the opportunity to leave, they go. He thought himself better off to slay himself than to be responsible for having all of these prisoners out. He was going to kill himself. But Paul, with a loud voice, saying, he deserves it. No, there is such a difference between Christianity and the people of this world. No! He had concern for this man's life. Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. More concerned for his life than his own comfort. Then the jailer, he called for a light and he sprang in. And he came down, he fell before Paul and Silas. And he cries out, what must I do to be saved? How much of Paul and Silas singing and praising he heard, I don't know. It says he awakened out of his sleep. How much he had known of the story of them being brought to him, we don't know, but we know that this man had come to some understanding of the need of his soul, that he was not right with God, and that he needed to be delivered from the penalty that he deserved for the sins that he had committed. He came to this conclusion that he needed to be right with God. And he says, what must I do to be saved? Well, their answer isn't simple as the gospel is. Satan would seek to make the gospel complex, too difficult. Well, that's too easy. Surely I must have to do something. But Jesus Christ has done all that there is to be done that sinners could be right with God. He lived a perfect life, a life without sin. And the scripture says, in him no sin. When they reviled him, he reviled not again. There was no guile in his mouth. He's a righteous servant. A servant that never walked or stepped or spoke outside the law of God. Never a cross word. Never disobedient or dishonoring to his parents, to Joseph and Mary, as he grew up in their home. Never a foul word, never a vile thought went through his mind. Jesus Christ lived a perfect life, and he died a sinner's death. He cried on the cross in the midst of his sufferings, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And in that hour, he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And the song that we sing so often and enjoy so very much, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. There's nothing that I could do. There's no amount of work that I could do. There's no amount of good works that I could ever accomplish that would pay for the sins that I have committed. There's no hope that my good will outweigh my bad. There's no hope that any sinner has that they'll ever be right with God other than through the person of Jesus Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not the belief that's spoken of elsewhere in the scriptures, in the book of James, where it says that the devils believe and tremble. You believe in God, you do well, but the devils believe. To have a knowledge or an acknowledgement that God exists, that he's real and he's there, well, that's fine and good, but it's not a belief that'll deliver your soul from the wrath to come, from an eternal hell. It is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver you from hell. And it is his righteousness and his righteousness alone that can make you fit for heaven. There's a point in time in this man's life. Whatever it was before, we know not. We only know this little snippet from his life. But he came to a place where these two preachers came to his jail cell, unjustly sent to his jail cell, badly abused and sent to his jail cell. And this point in life came to him and he said, I need to be saved. I need to be saved from my sinfulness. What must I do to be saved? And the answer was, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And he took them. The same hour he took these two men. This man who came Christ in this hour and he began his service for Christ at the very same night. And he washed their backs and the stripes and the bleeding, the dried blood, the bruised backs. He took warm water. Tenderly dealt with the pain that these men would have been enduring. But their concern for his well-being and his soul was greater than the discomforts that they were feeling through the pain that they were enduring after they were beaten with many stripes. His service for the Lord Jesus began that very night. In the book of Acts, chapter 8, we read of Philip's encounter with a man in great authority, a man of great wealth, a man of great position, a man of religion, a man of learning. He found satisfaction for his soul's sake in the person, the work of Jesus Christ. We turn over two different preachers, Paul and Silas. Very different circumstances, thrown in this jail, a very different man, a jailer. Apparently he had some authority, for he called for a light and someone brought a light. He had someone there that aided him in his duties, but certainly not like the accountant, the treasurer for the Queen Candace. He wasn't there. But he found satisfaction in the very same place that the other man found for his soul's need. And he found it in the person of Jesus Christ. And it says that he rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. The Ethiopian, he went on his way rejoicing. He went back to his duty, but he went back with a Savior. And this jailer is now a different man. He's going on his way rejoicing, satisfied with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is sufficient as a Savior. Not simply as a great moral teacher, not simply as a wonderful man, but he's a Savior of sinners. He's a Savior, and the only Savior that any sinner that will satisfy every sinner that comes to him. Shall we all pray? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your mercies. And I pray that you would bless this word to the hearts, each one that is here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. There was a point in time in this jailer's life where he came to Jesus Christ. There was a day when he called upon him. There was a point in time in the Ethiopian's life, a gospel worker came his way, and he called upon Jesus Christ in that hour. There's a point in time when every sinner must come to Jesus Christ and say, I must turn from my sin. I must repent. I must believe upon Jesus Christ for myself. Not something to put off or something that's kind of general. Well, I kind of feel like that. But a place in time where you've said, Lord Jesus, God be merciful to me, a sinner. A sinner that deserves suffering, hell, the wrath of God. Forgive me for Jesus' sake. A point in time, I hope each one of you have come to that place in your life sometime and you've called upon him. At some point in your life, and most certainly, you'd not let the day go by if you've not, without having come to Jesus, in the way this Ethiopian, or in the way the jailer came to the Lord Jesus. John Paul.